Roto Grinders presents your first word in daily fantasy sports.
Let's go!
The Morning Grind. Stevie, TPFL, and company are here to jumpstart your analysis on today's DFS slate.
Let's go!
Without further ado, here's your host, Stephen Young.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Morning Grind podcast, presented by RotoGrinders.com. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. I hope you guys had a great weekend, but it's time for the Morning Grind. It's time to get back on the weekly grind. It's time to talk some baseball. And it's a nice 13-game slate here, night slate, not a split slate, so all games playing at night. And who better than to talk to than our normal Monday and Friday guest, Hoop2410. How was your weekend, my friend?
Had a very good weekend, a very good weekend DFS related, a very good weekend family related. So overall, it was a good weekend. Excited to get back to the weekly grind, as you said, a nice 13 game slate to get us started. And we have some good pitching. We have Coors Field. We have some other, elite hitting environments. So, just a lot of options. Looking forward to the slate.
Yeah, man, like you said, just a little, like a looking at the slate overview here, like we got games at Toronto, we got games at Texas, Colorado, Arizona, and we got like 3-4 legit aces, like opening day starters here on the Hill. So there's a lot to talk about. So we were talking and we were chatting a little bit after we got off the podcast the other day, and you said that you had won the Monster the last time you did a podcast with me. What happened on Friday? Did you knock anything out of the park?
I didn't knock anything out of the park in terms of GPPs, but I had a very good night. So this podcast is getting the job done for me. So, I always look forward to hopping on with you because I'm hoping to extend this streak of success on the days that you and I collaborate on the podcast.
All right, we're gonna make that happen. But all right, let's get into the games, man. Like you said, you had a good weekend. I had a great weekend in NASCAR. Just crushed cash games again, man. Like
nice.
It's just amazing to me. Like I looked at my team and I was like, there's no way I'm going to win today. And then like at the end of the day, like, holy crap. Like I think I won like 90% of the double ups I played. So like, it was a good day for me. And NASCAR, I should stop playing tournaments. It's like exactly opposite of like everything else I play, like baseball and basketball. I'm like a tournament player. And then like NASCAR, I'm like, my cash lineup is just so much better than any tournament lineup I make.
It's funny how that works sometimes, because that's the same for me. Obviously, with the main sports, I just stick to cash and don't really dive deep into GPPs. But when I play golf, all I play is GPPs. I've actually never played a PGA like double up or head to head. It's just all GPPs. So it's funny how that works.
Yeah, man. All right, let's talk some baseball here. That's why I brought you on. That's why we're here. That's why everybody's listening. They're not here to listen about NASCAR or PGA, which if they want to listen to that, I'm always open to, you know, them tweeting at me. All right, White Sox at Toronto. We'll start it off here with the Rogers Center. We got Marcus Stroman against Miguel Gonzalez. I think this is Miguel Gonzalez's first start of the season.
Yeah.
Did he pitch last year? I know Miguel Gonzalez, but I don't know if he pitched. Did he pitch a little bit last year? He was with Baltimore, right?
Yeah, he was with the Orioles last season. Just, I mean, I'd say middle to back end rotation guy, nothing special.
Yeah, I'm pulling up his stats here. Really struggles against lefties, not too much better against righties.
Yeah.
You know, Stroman's an interesting guy, but it's the Rogers Center, and we got all these good pitchers on the board tonight. I think we can fade both these pitchers here.
Yeah, I know a lot of people are fans of Stroman. He's not a guy that gets me very excited. I really don't roster him. This is obviously a very good hitting environment. Not a lot of times we're going to take pitchers in the Rogers Center. So I don't see the upside really in either of these guys. Definitely not Gonzalez. If you want to, play Stroman in GPPs, I'd be okay with that. Not something I'm overly excited about, but this is a spot that we want some hitters. No doubt about that.
Yeah. And there's a pitcher that we'll talk about here in a few minutes. That's kind of the same price as Stroman. That's in a much better environment. With a much better bullpen and everything behind him. And I think he's a better even tournament play than Stroman. But Gonzalez is a guy I think we can pick on. There's nothing better than picking on the Toronto bats at Rogers Center. And, dude, I know last year, it's a small sample size, but last year I won a lot of money getting off of Coors and going to Rogers Center. I don't know if this is necessarily the slate to fade Coors completely, but I feel like this is a good spot to target these Toronto bets.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of different ways you can go in different price ranges. So I expect Ezekiel Cabrera to continue to lead off, and not a good hitter by any stretch of the imagination, but he's in an elite spot, you know, leading off for the Blue Jays. You know, if he gets on base, there's a very high likelihood that somebody drives him in. He's capable of stealing bases coming off back-to-back. Very solid games. Had 4 hits on Saturday, and then followed it up yesterday, depending on when you're listening to this, with 2 hits, which included a home run. Not a guy that's typically gonna hit a home run, but you know, in a good spot here leading off. So I like him. He's still relatively cheap. And then you got the big names behind him. You got Donaldson, who I'm fine playing in this righty-righty matchup. Bautista and Encarnacion. Too low, and you know, I'd even go a little bit lower with like a Smoke or Russell Martin. So just a lot of good bats here to target.
Yeah, a Smoke is one name that I wanted to bring up here. First base, not typically a spot that you want to pay down for, but you know, looking at Smoke, you know, looking at like his numbers and his power numbers, 308 ISO against lefties last year, 233 ISO against righties last year. You're not really sacrificing too much besides lineup position, because he should hit 6th here, but I'm expecting a lot of Blue Jays to be on. I think the RBI potential's there. I think he's a really interesting tournament play if you're going to pay up for a pitcher in tournaments.
Yeah, absolutely. And I wouldn't be opposed to playing him in cash. He's 2.3K. I actually did that today. I paid down and played him. Didn't have a monster game. He got like an RBI single and scored a run, but well, you know, when it came to roster construction, I felt that was the route to go. So I think definitely better suited for tournaments, no doubt about it, due to his lineup positioning. But at 2.3K for this offense, I'd be fine playing him in cash as well, as long as he's in the lineup. You know, he's not a guy that plays every day.
Yeah, well, of course, make sure he's in the lineup. Now, looking at the White Sox side of things, Stroman's a guy with a massive ground ball rate to righties. It's an interesting lineup. Like his ground ball rate's high to lefties as well. But it's just, this ballpark is just so good to target hitters in. I think we can look at Frazier, Melky Cabrera, Jose Abreu. And one thing that instantly stands out to me is Jose Abreu is only 3,100 here.
Yeah, his price is sinking. Really hasn't had a monster game in a while. Hasn't hit a home run in what looks like 6 or 7 days. So the price is down 3.1K, just about as cheap as it most likely is going to be all season long. So I like him, and just another name to add to the list of the guys that you mentioned. If you're uncomfortable with the righty-righty matchups, Adam Eaton at 3K. And even Jimmy Rollins, he bet second, shortstop, 2.7K. I'd be fine going there. So some good options here. I think overall this is a good offense to stack up in tournaments, and I'd be fine playing some of the pieces here as well as lineup fillers.
All right, heading on into Tampa. I actually just got back from Tampa. Baltimore taking on the Rays. Chris Archer, 0-4 start, has not looked like the Chris Archer we've been used to, and Kevin Gausman, I think this is his first start coming off of an injury, first start of the season for him. Interesting to, you know, we're recording this Sunday night, so, you know, there's a lot of stuff we're going to look at, you know, through the day Monday, especially Twitter, and just kind of see if we see anything about pitch limit, innings limit, anything like that for Gausman in this first start. That's something you're really going to want to pay attention to. Wouldn't you agree here?
Yeah, definitely. You want to see any time a guy's coming off an injury. Like today, we saw DeGrom come off injury, had him capped at 85 pitches today. So obviously not a guy that, you know, you don't want to target guys in that type of situation. You know, I don't know how excited I'd be about Gausman, regardless of any sort of pitch count or if he's free to go as deep in the game as he's capable of. So I'm off these guys, or off him specifically. Archer, I think you have to avoid in cash games. I think it makes him a really good tournament option. We saw what the guy's capable of doing. He has double-digit strikeout upside. He's looked like shit this season. I mean, he's been terrible. There's just no doubt about it. You watched him pitch last time against the Red Sox. He got shelled. Red Sox, obviously, good offense. This is, you know, him at home. Better pitching environment. So I think he's fine for tournaments, you know, would not touch him in cash games. I don't know what the price is on DraftKings. Last game against the Red Sox, they had Archer all the way down to 8.5K. I'll pull that up here at some point and see what the price actually is. Because if it's cheap enough, I guess there would be some appeal. Well, they got him back up to 10.3K, so no thank you.
Yeah, one thing that I want to mention here with him, like his Sierra, it's not extremely high. Like ERA, 7.32 is really high for this season, especially in only 19 innings. That's something like you look past ERA most of the time, but Sierra is only 3.35, which is solid. The one thing that I'm really worried about here with him is his hard contact rate is through the roof right now. Yeah. And his whip is 2.08. Like, that's extremely high. Anything over, like, a 1.35 is really high.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I agree with pretty much everything you said. He's going to be low-owned. Good tournament option. Wouldn't play him in cash. There's too many options. If this was, like, a six-game slate and we didn't have, a top pitching option, then Chris Archer would be a guy that we'd look at in tournaments or in cash. But this is not the spot. He has tremendous upside. So let's talk about some of the Baltimore bats, getting to face Archer, who's struggling. Is there anybody you want to target here against him?
I think the one guy that I'd want some exposure to in tournaments is obviously Chris Davis. He has the two home run upside. But for the most part, not many Orioles bats I'm excited to take. It's one of those situations, not really on the pitcher. Definitely not excited about the offense, but Chris Davis in tournaments, I think he has the most upside for the Baltimore Orioles.
Yeah, and then just to touch on that and add two names here that I like for tournaments. Trumbo is one at 4,100. I expect him to be less than 5% owned.
Yeah,
not a great hitter's ballpark, but Archer's given up a lot of hard contact to righties. Even looking at his stats dating back to last year, a lot of hard contact to righties. So I don't mind Trumbo, and Jonathan Scope is a guy at 2,600, always a tournament play for me against righty because he has massive ISO against righties. Like I mentioned, Archer has the hard contact rate against righties, so I don't mind that.
Yeah, I can get on board with both those guys. Yeah, Trumbo definitely going to be less than 5% owned at 4.1K, yep. Especially with that Coors Field game. So, people in that price, looking in that price range are going to go to one of those guys, and Trumbo will be extremely, extremely low owned.
All right, now looking at – well, and I guess we got a throw Machado out there too. He's 5K. He's really expensive, but he's always a guy you consider in tournaments because he has massive upside. So we'll throw that name out there as well. Now, Gossman's a guy that really struggles with right-handed bats. Steven Souza coming off a two-home-run game on Sunday. He's only 3K. I feel like I don't know if I'm going to completely fade him, but I feel like he's going to be highly owned coming off of a massive game.
Coming off the massive game, it's going to bump it a little bit, but I don't think it's going to be much. I still think he ends up being low owned, okay. Just very limited name recognition. People don't know him, and therefore people will not play him. So, yes, the two home run game will bump it up a little bit, but I still think he'll be really low owned. He's 3K. He's, like you said, Gossman struggles against righties. Evan Longoria, 3.1K. It's a really nice price for him. I think these guys overall for tournaments are going to be low owned. I wouldn't have an issue looking to some of these guys in cash games either. If I'm playing one guy in cash from the Rays, it would likely be Corey Dickerson at 3.2K coming off, a couple games, but nice games back to back. Had three hits on Saturday, hit the home run today or yesterday, depending on when you're listening to this podcast. So 3.2K, probably my favorite play here for the Rays.
I agree. Boston at Atlanta. This is an interesting thing here. Julio Teheran, Rick Porcello. But the thing we got to mention first and foremost, Red Sox are playing in Houston Sunday Night Baseball. Travel to Atlanta, lose the DH. I think this is a good spot that Poppy sits. I think
almost a lock. Yeah.
So be careful with that. I would almost expect, going into your roster construction, that Poppy's probably going to sit this game.
Yeah.
Hey, Rick Porcello. And I keep doubting this guy, and I feel like he's just going to get rocked. I don't know if this is the spot that the Braves are going to rock him, but three really decent starts to start the season here for Porcello.
Yeah, and the thing to look out for here is the strikeout numbers. 7 strikeouts, 8 strikeouts, and 9 strikeouts. A guy that typically has not been a high strikeout guy. Be curious to do a little more research and see why he's striking out more guys. Is it just is it because it's a small 3-game sample and he happened to strike out, a higher number of guys? I don't know. But if these numbers continue to stay up, that's going to make him a prime DFS target. 7, 8, 9 strikeouts, that's a lot. Going 6 innings, 6 and a third, and 7 innings. So something to watch out for. interesting spot here against the Braves. You have to figure the Red Sox should win this ball game. Boston is basically, it looks like they opened up at about a 145 favorite. It would be a price thing for me. You know, I really need to see where he's priced on FanDuel. He's 7.4K. I mean, that's pretty darn low. That gives you opportunity to load up on some bats. So I think more so for tournaments for me, opposed to cash games. And, you know, if you're playing him on FanDuel, 7.4K, you can really load up on a lot of bats.
Yeah, I agree, man. Like, I think he's an interesting tournament option. I'm still not a believer. And I'll say that. I'll be honest with you. I'm not a believer in this guy.
Yeah.
I'm not a believer in what he's done. But, like, everything looking at, like, velocity charts on this guy from last year and the year before, like, everything's really close. So, like you said, I don't know why the strikeouts are up. And usually to me, like, when I see something like that, I expect regression. And Atlanta's not a team that strikes out a lot. So I would say tread lightly. And that's how I feel about him. But I think he pretty much nailed it. Now, Julio Teheran, on the other hand, he's off to an awful start and has to face, you know, the visiting Red Sox here. This is a tough matchup for him.
Yeah, very tough. And, you know, we really need this Red Sox lineup because, like you said, there's Sunday night baseball, traveling back to Atlanta. Could see some funky things. I think one guy that I know will be in the lineup for sure and should get a better lineup spot with Poppy likely being out would be Travis Shaw. I have a lot of interest in him, a guy, a really promising player. He's 3K on FanDuel, third base eligibility. Be hitting fourth, more likely probably fifth if Poppy sits. I have a lot of interest in him. I think he's probably my favorite play for the Red Sox, to be honest.
Yeah, I like him a lot. I feel like we talk about him every podcast we do.
Yeah, he's good.
This is a great spot for him.
Yeah, absolutely. 3K, third base, it's a good price as well. So, and Teheran, you know, guy, yeah, I think we talked about it last time. It had a nice stretch last season. I think a lot of people really thought he was going to be a solid pitcher. But outside of, like, 2 months last season, the guy has not been very good, especially at a left-handed bat. So I like the lefties here specifically. Travis Shaw likely being my favorite.
Yeah, Shaw's probably my favorite in this game as well. I definitely agree with you. Now, we mentioned Porcello, and he's an interesting option, but he still gives up a pretty high hard contact rate to lefties and righties. Not the greatest ballpark in the world, but, you know, I feel like we can look at a guy like Nick Markakis batting in the leadoff spot. Always seems to be on their own. I don't know if it's like old age bias or whatever it is, but he's off to a really good start this season.
Yeah, he is, and it just, he goes low on, like you said. He plays for the Braves. I think that's most of the reason.
Yeah.
You know, their overall lineup is not very impressive. You know, I think it's a situation where most DFS players just cross the Braves guys off their list of players to play, and it leaves them all extremely low owned. You know, I think he's slightly interesting. I think more so for me it would be like Freddie Freeman. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, I could get on board with Markakis.
Now, I want to bring up something with Freeman. I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but I've seen a thing on Twitter this weekend, you know, just kind of, you know how it is. You get bored and you're on Twitter all the time.
Yeah.
He's working with the hitting coach on some minor adjustments. You know, he's struggling this much at the plate that he's working with the hitting coach. I feel like we need Freeman to have a couple good games and get some confidence before we can roster him. What's your thoughts when you hear stuff like that?
Yeah, it's 2.9K. It's definitely his price is 2.9K. That's the reason I think he's in play. But yeah, he's obviously struggling working with the hitting coach, like you said. And I think the overall bigger issue is the fact that, I mean, he has absolutely no protection. You look at that lineup, and he's the only guy that's going to do any sort of damage. Teams are likely kind of pitching around him a little bit. So, yeah, I mean, it's like concern. I don't have much love for any of these Braves bats, to be honest. Let me check on my boy. He's still 2.4K, Garcia, Adonis Garcia. I always have to mention him if I get an opportunity to do so. 2.4K, as long as he's still batting cleanup, I think he's a fine third base punt as well.
All right, we'll swing it on over. Cincinnati at New York Mets. Rafael Iglesias against the one and only Noah Syndergaard. And we are talking a little bit pre-show, and there's one thing that we definitely agree on today. Don't care if it's cash or tournaments, Syndergaard, top option on the board here.
Yeah, the dude's the real deal. I mean, he appears to be the real deal. 9-12, 8 strikeouts in his first three starts. His stuff is just absolutely elite. You watch him pitch, and it's just, you know, the eye test gets an A+, just everything working in his favor. So he gets the Reds at home here in this very pitcher-friendly ballpark. You know, it's close up top, to be honest. You know, Madison Bumgarner gets a nice home matchup with the Padres. He looked a little bit better in his last start. As it stands right now, I think I'm going to give Syndergaard the edge. Their prices are just about the same. Syndergaard on FanDuel is 11.4. Bumgarner is 11K. But it's an elite spot, you know, at home here against the Reds. Total 6.5, opened up at 6.5. And the Mets are -222 favorites. So you have to love Syndergaard here. Just a really elite spot.
Yeah. I don't think it's as close as you do, but you know, Bumgarner, you got to respect Bumgarner, one of the best pitchers in baseball. So I get that. I want nothing to do with Iglesias. I want some of these lefties here for the Mets. They've come together. They're starting to hit the ball. We want to pay attention to Cespedes news. He's dealing with an injury. At 4,600 on this type of slate, I don't think he's an option here dealing with an injury. But Neil Walker, Lucas Duda, Corvato, all these guys are still really cheap on FanDuel.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, if Cespedes is indeed out, you know, they all kind of get a lineup bump here too. So Duda will get up there. Neil Walker will get up there. He's 3.4K. I like these bats. Granderson is another guy to add to the list. He had a big weekend as well, hit a grand slam, I believe, on Friday night, followed it up with a two-hit game on Saturday, then, you know, another hit and a couple runs today. So a lot to like with this Mets lineup. Iglesias, a guy, you know, I think in certain spots we won't want to pick on. He does appear to be, you know, a solid pitcher and should be moving forward. But in this spot, I am definitely comfortable rolling out some of these Mets, all priced, you know, cheap for the most part, and get the core of their offense all under 3.5K. So it's a good spot to attack and get some exposure to.
Yeah, I definitely agree with everything you said. Oakland at Detroit. Kendall Graveman taking on Jordan Zimmermann. Jordan Zimmermann, speaking of guys that are off to a good start, man, it looks like Detroit made the right move going out and getting Zimmermann here.
Yeah, about the only right move that they made in the offseason. Because I can tell you, Mike Pelfrey is not going to work out here for the Tigers. That $8 million a year contract is not looking really good at this point. But he's not on the slate. Jordan Zimmermann is, and he has been remarkably impressive. So, you know, a guy has gone at least 6 innings in each start, you know, picked up 3 wins here. So he's 3-0, hasn't given up an earned run yet. So he has been amazing at home here. Pretty solid favorite at -150. The price is 8.9K. I think he's in play. You know, I think he's in play in cash games. I think he's in play in tournaments. You know, should pick up the win here. The A's lineup not very intimidating at this point. They build up these young stars and kind of just ship them off. So I like Zimmermann here. And, you know, like I said, I'd have no problem playing him in cash or even in tournaments. He's proven that he has the upside in tournaments as well. So a guy I like a lot today.
Yeah, I love him on two-pitcher sites. I feel like he's a good second pitcher to maybe pair with Thor, one of these other top guys. I feel like he's in a good spot just to go out and have a really solid spot, you know. And it's a good matchup against Oakland, who, you know, we like to pick on Oakland more when they're at home because of the ballpark. But Kendall Graveman's not a guy that's really going to scare you. Really low strikeout rates, high wOBA to lefties and righties. And you have to think, like, a Detroit explosion in this offense is just going to happen eventually. The offense, it's just too good not to have a big game. Miggy sat out on Sunday. I think he's probably my favorite hitter here coming off of day of rest.
Yeah, and the price, I mean, the price, 3.7K. At 4.1K, I said that was about as cheap as we're going to see him all season. I'm now altering that statement and saying at 3.7K is about as cheap as we're going to see. I mean, that's low for a guy of Miguel Cabrera's caliber. He's going to get it going. This whole offense is going to get it going at some point. Ian Kinsler is the one guy that's priced a little bit too high for me at 3.9K at second base. I think you can do better there. But you look at Miggy, then you look at the outfielders. JD Martinez is 3.3K. Justin Upton is 3K. I like all those guys a lot. You know, not going to be many times this season where we can get Miggy, JD Martinez, and Justin Upton all at 3.7K or below. So really, really like these guys quite a bit. And, you know, I definitely in play in cash games. And, you know, you can easily stack these guys up in tournaments and pay up at pitcher at the same time. So in play in all formats for me.
Dude, I'm going to continue to roll out Tiger Sack every day. I just feel like it's going to happen. And like you said, like you can honestly like make a really good lineup with Miggy, JD Martinez, Justin Upton, like really core stack. And then, dude, it pains me to say this. James McCann, who? Jared Salta, Macchia, just crushing the ball right now. 3,200 catcher option. Good matchup for him here.
Yeah, 30. I mean, probably hit sixth. You know, I'd have no problem. He can get 3, 4, 5, 6 right there. You know, he could be the fourth part of that stack there with Cabrera, Upton, and JD Martinez. So I'd have no problem going there.
Does it come to the point where we'd rather have Salta Macchia over Victor Martinez?
Oh yeah, I forgot about him. on FanDuel, he's 2.6K catcher eligibility. You can't really forget about him here. Sorry, he totally slipped my mind because he's been so bad. He's been so bad this season. Maybe that's why. But yeah, 2.6K catcher eligibility on FanDuel. Definitely can't forget about him.
Yeah, he started the season off with 2 home runs and 2 at-bats. Like, you knew regression was going to happen. Like, he had high hopes, but you knew it was coming. All right, so we don't want to pick on Zimmerman a lot. One name that kind of stands out to me who's swinging a pretty good bat, moved up into the 2 spot, really cheap still, 2,600, is Chris Coughlin. If I had to take one bat here, maybe outside of Josh Reddick, I think Chris Coughlin at 2,600 is a cheap value play.
Yeah, it's him or Reddick, like you said. I like those guys quite a bit. Jed Lowry was really cheap on FanDuel. I think he still is day-to-day, so maybe he suffered an injury at some point. But if he's in there, 2.4K is batting cleanup, so I'd have some interest in him as well.
All right, Texas facing New York at Texas here. We have Nathan Eovaldi, and right now as it stands, it's supposed to be Cesar Hernandez or Ramos, lefty getting the start. I think it was Cole Hamels who was supposed to start, and they announced, I think, Sunday afternoon that Ramos was going to get the start here. Is this a trend that we're going to see this season? Are we going to see teams do what the Rays did this past weekend and just throw a bunch of left-handed pitchers at New York?
It might be the case because, you know, like you said, we saw it this weekend. We're seeing it here again. It could be a trend, but I mean, I think you have to consider some of these Yankees bats. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a really good hitting environment here in Texas. Guys like Mark Teixeira have a nice price at 3.4K. Starlin Castro, if he continues to bat second against lefties, he's 2.9K. Maybe Carlos Beltran, if he gets a good lineup spot, definitely a guy to consider. So definitely a spot here where we're going to be way more interested in the bats opposed to the pitchers.
Yeah, I want nothing to do with Eovaldi. He throws really hard, and he throws really straight, really flat fastballs. And this is not a ballpark you want to have that kind of pitches. I think this offense could get to him. And like some of these Texas bats, I agree with you on the Yankee bats. One name that always is a name that we throw around against left-handed pitching is A-Rod. He left the game early on Sunday, so you're going to want to pay attention to that. Yeah, man, you have to get some exposure here. I feel like this is a spot that even some of these lefties, Brian McCann hits lefties well. Like, if they're in the lineup, if we get some of these cheap righties that the Yankees might have on the bench, you know, might be in play as well. What are your thoughts here on Eovaldi? Who you want to pick on him with the Rangers?
A lot of guys. I like Prince Fielder at 3.1K. I like Mazzara, 3.3K. He had a dong on Sunday. Mitch Moreland wouldn't be opposed to going with DeShields. 3.1K has the stolen base upside. So I like all these Texas guys. Fine to stack them up. Most of them have the home run upside and, you know, cheap enough where I think they're great values in cash as well.
Yeah, I agree. Marza, he just continues to hit, man. I like this guy. He looks like he's locked into this 2 spot. I think he's a great play. I agree with you on Prince Fielder and Moreland, and I think the Shields is always a guy you can look at who's usually underowned, and this is a pretty good spot for him here. Cleveland at Minnesota, another pitcher that we can look at here with some strikeout upside. Danny Salazar taken on Minnesota. It's Tom Malone, the lefty, getting to face Cleveland here, which is an interesting thing. But we'll start it off with Salazar. What's your thoughts?
I like him a lot in tournaments. I think he'll be pretty low-owned here. We have some big-name guys going and some other cheap guys that have some appeal. So I think he'll be pretty low-owned. He has a ton of upside, a ton of strikeout upside, and gets to face this Twins offense that is off to an extremely slow start, a much better hitting team. They will be a much better hitting team this season against lefties opposed to righties. They have some guys in that lineup that can do some damage against left-handed pitching. But I think Salazar is in a really good spot. I think he's obviously will be much lower owned than the big names, Syndergaard and Bumgarner. He possesses similar upside and not as much, but he can get up there, double digit strikeouts, go deep into a game. So probably my favorite tournament option in terms of starting pitchers.
Yeah, point per dollar. I actually have him as my number two pitcher of the day on FanDuel. A little higher than Bumgarner, actually. I feel like this is a better matchup, more strikeout upside. I'm not saying Bumgarner is a bad play, but love Salazar here against Minnesota. Like you said,
yeah, he'll be much lower owned. You know, he'll be much lower owned than Bumgarner. So, you know, if you're confident that price per dollar, he's the guy, you know, it's definitely an elite spot for some tournament exposure.
Yeah, and Salazar is not a guy that's going to throw eight innings. Just know that. Like, he's probably going to throw six or seven. You just hope he gets his strikeouts. And this is definitely a team that he can rack up the strikeouts. Tom Malone, left-handed pitcher, no interest for me here. I don't like slow tossing lefties.
No, that's one thing to avoid in DFS, rostering soft tossing left-handed pitchers. It usually doesn't work out too well for these guys.
Yeah, I think like his average velocity on his fastball is like 87, 88 miles an hour. Not going to work out well for you. No. Well, with that being said, let's talk about some of these Cleveland bats. One thing we want to note is Brantley is supposed to travel with the team, could get activated before the game. Lefty-righty matchup doesn't matter for me with Brantley, man. He can hit lefties and righties. 3,600, probably going to be really low owned because people are going to see that little red thing next to his name and just look him off. So I think he's an interesting tournament play.
Interesting tournament play, no doubt about that. I'll rattle off the cash game guys because that's kind of what I do. Yan Gomes at 2.9K, likely bat six, maybe fifth, had a good weekend, had a really good game against my Tigers on Saturday, but luckily enough for me, I actually rostered him, so it worked out pretty well. So at first base, Napoli and Carlos Santana, I think both in play. Napoli will likely hit cleanup, get the better lineup spot, so might give a slight edge to him. And then in the outfield, Rajay Davis, I think, is a really good tournament option. Playable in cash if you can make it fit, but, you know, at 3.8K, I think I prefer him in tournaments opposed to cash.
Yeah, and you didn't mention your boy Lindor, man. I feel like this is a great spot for him.
Yeah, I overlooked him. He's 3.5K. Yeah, like you said, good spot for him here as well. Look, he's been batting third, right?
Yeah. And that should change. That should change with Brantley coming back.
True. Yeah, no doubt about that. So be curious to see what type of lineup they roll out if Brantley is indeed activated.
Yeah, agreed. And I want to touch, I liked everything you said, but I feel like Napoli has a ton of upside at 3,200. Throughout his career, he's crushed left-handed pitching. This is an excellent spot for him. We want to target right-handed bats more in this ballpark anyway. I feel like Napoli is the guy. If I had to take somebody here with upside, I feel like it would be him. I don't really want to pick on Salazar with any of these Twins bats.
No, I don't. It's just not a really good spot. Their offense is struggling overall, and there's not many pieces in this lineup that I really want to target. So off these guys completely in all formats.
All right. So I'm reading here. Next thing we're going to talk about is Pittsburgh going to Colorado. This is Sunday night podcast. And from what I'm reading, Jorge De La Rosa is supposed to have his start pushed back. No idea who the starter is going to be. They're saying Chris Russen, but we know that he pitched a couple innings against the Dodgers on Sunday. Honestly, it's probably going to be somebody we can pick on. And then Jeff Locke is the other lefty here on the hill. Jeff Locke, somebody we can pick on. We don't want the pitchers and cores. It doesn't matter who it is.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You know, does it really matter who the replacement is? The total is still going to be 11, 11 and a half. And the Pirates' bats are going to be in an elite spot. You know, the Rockies don't have a pitcher on their staff that they could slide into the start and, you know, the DFS community say, oh, my gosh, we can't play the Pirates today. That's impossible. There's no chance of that happening. So, yeah, whoever it is, doesn't matter. You know, all these bats are going to be in play.
Yeah, and they've done a really good job with Coors. They've priced them up pretty much all season. Man, I was really hoping that it was going to be De La Rosa because I felt like we could finally talk about David Freese at 3,200 and, like, have a legit conversation. And Jordy Mercer was another guy that I really liked against the lefty. Okay, so we don't know who's going to start. It pretty much doesn't matter because we're going to play these guys anyway. So give me two Rockies and two Pirates that you would target the most because, really, honestly, you can target all these guys.
Yeah, you'd be able to get exposure to any of them. Obviously, the first name for the Rockies that pops in my head is Arenado. The price is up there, though, 5.4K. But a guy, you know, I don't know. Obviously, Coors Field guys always go really highly owned. I just feel like he's always a little bit lower than the other guys for some reason. But definitely him. I'm actually going to go Cargo. I know it's a lefty-lefty matchup, but he has the best price out of all these guys at 4K. So at 4K, I'd have no issue playing him in the lefty-lefty matchup. And then on the Pirate side, kind of depends, obviously, on the pitcher. If it is De La Rosa, you know, there's just no doubt about it. You're going to want to get some Andrew McCutchen and some Marte. If Mercer, you mentioned him as well. You know, he's been batting leadoff. So if it is a lefty, Mercer, those guys. If it's a righty, John Jaso should bat leadoff, and he's in play. But it's Coors Field. Everyone's in play.
Yeah, if it's a righty, I feel like Jace was actually a cash option. We talked about, like, him being a guy at first base that we really don't want to target, but I feel like his price is reflecting a lefty being on the hill, and, like, yeah. 3,500 is really solid for him. So one name that I want to note here for the Rockies that we'd like to target against left-handed pitching, Rayburn was out of the lineup Sunday dealing with, I think it was a leg injury. I was listening to the game, and he pitch hit, and, like, he got a hit and then, like, instantly came off the field, but we usually like to target him against lefties. If he's in the lineup, I think he's an excellent play. Jeff Locke, yeah, I agree with everything you said. I feel like if you want some contrarian exposure to this game, I feel like Trevor Story is a guy that could be underowned. His price tag being so high. And he's had a couple down games, so I feel like people might get off him. Good time to pop on him. Good time, good spot for a home run out of him. Yeah. St. Louis at Arizona, Jaime Garcia, Zach Greinke, but it is Chase Field. So let's talk Greinke. Let's talk Jaime Garcia.
Not much interest in either guy, to be honest with you. Greinke, obviously, he bounced back and looked a little bit better, but that was in one of the best pitching parks, or, you know, might be the best pitcher's park in all of baseball in San Francisco. Hadn't looked good in any start in Arizona yet, so I don't really like him much, especially going against the Cardinals, a good, solid, patient team. So off him, Garcia, I can't pull the trigger on him in Chase Field. So I'm off both these pitchers in all formats.
Yeah, I don't think there'll be a time. I'm not saying it won't happen because we have small slates every once in a while. I don't think there'll be a time that I'll talk about Zach Greinke at home and, like, say, like, I endorse Zach Greinke at home because – dude, it's Chase Field. The ball flies here. Like, it's just not a good spot for him. So let's talk bats in this game. We'll start with St. Louis since they're the visiting team. Is there anybody that stands out to you here that you want to target Greinke with?
You know, it's a situation where I'm not overly excited about either pitcher, but I'm definitely not overly excited about many bats here. The one bat that I do want to mention for the Cardinals would be Matt Adams. He is the absolute minimum at 2K. If he gets in there and batting cleanup or batting fifth, I think he's a guy that I would definitely want some exposure to in tournaments. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, in tournaments, I think. He's the one guy I think that stands out on the Cardinals side of things for me.
Yeah, and Hazel Baker was a guy that we were targeting a lot. Piscotty came back, and Hazel Baker kind of went to a bench. So yeah. I feel like if you're going to pick on Greinke, do it like a 3 or 4 man stack in a tournament and don't spend a lot of bankroll on it, but you'll be rewarded because they'll probably be less than 5% owned. And if they score a bunch of runs, you know, you'll have a good chance. So, you know, yeah, if you're playing, like the $5 rally or like the $10 line drive or something, you're putting in multiple entries, this is a good spot.
Yeah, and all the guys are relatively cheap outside of Matt Carpenter, who's 4.1K. So, you know, do a 2 through 5 or a 3 through 6 or something like that. And they're all cheap, like I said. You know, Carpenter's the only guy that's up there at 4.1K.
Now, Jaime Garcia is interesting. He's a lefty, high ground ball rate. If we think about Arizona, we think about, you know, Goldschmidt, of course, against the lefty, Castillo against the lefty. But I think Jaime Garcia is interesting in this spot. I'll probably be a wuss and not pull the trigger. But, dude, I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't be shocked if he goes out and has a really good game here.
Yeah, it's definitely a possibility. Diamondbacks are a team that have the propensity to just go ahead and get shut down and just absolutely mowed down by opposing pitchers. So I could definitely see that. You know, obviously the one of the golden rules in DFS, you know, Paul Goldschmidt at home against a lefty. If you're somebody that builds a bunch of lineups, make sure you get some exposure to him, throw him in a lineup or two, because, you know, that's paid off a ton in the past, regardless of the capability of the opposing pitcher. So I like Goldschmidt in tournaments.
Yeah, I agree. Kansas City at Los Angeles, taking on the Angels, Garrett Richards, Ian Kennedy. Richards has been up and down this season. First rule of DFS, don't play pitchers against Kansas City. Ian Kennedy is a guy that I feel like is really interesting in this spot. I feel like the Angels offense has really struggled this season, and it's not an offense that's really scared me. And I feel like Kennedy's in a really good spot here.
He's been very impressive. You know, like you said, he's gone at least 6 innings in all 3 starts, and he's struck out 7 batters in each of his first 3 starts. So he's been super productive. He gets a chance here to face the offense here in the Angels that's just not very intimidating outside of Mike Trout and Albert Pujols. I mean, they have some very weak guys surrounding Pujols and Trout right now. So I think it's an offense that we can kind of pick on with opposing pitchers. I like the call. I think he's a low owned option that has tournament winning upside. You know, if you roster him, you can get way more exposure to Coors Field than opposed to somebody that pays up for a Syndergaard or Bumgarner. So, I like the Kennedy call. I think he's a very solid tournament option.
Yeah, hasn't given up more than 2 earned runs in a start and was able to hold down like Detroit and Houston, 2 really good offenses, much better offenses than the Angels this season. And you have to remember, like, if Kennedy is able to get to the bullpen with a lead, there's a good chance he wins. Oh, and on FanDuel, the win is just so important with this new scoring that he's almost a lock if he gets to the bullpen.
Yeah, Royals have the best bullpen in baseball. So, you know, if he turns over a 2-3 run lead, in a lot of cases 1 run lead, it's lights out and he'll pick up the win. So it's a pretty underrated aspect, you know, of DFS, specifically on FanDuel, where the win is so important. So like that call, 8.2K, a super fair price.
Now we're looking at the batters here against Richards first, because the Royals are visiting. Richards is a guy that semi-reverse splits, a little bit better against lefties than he is against righties. One name that stands out to me as a guy that I feel like could be extremely owned, and he's actually been hitting the ball really well, is Perez. He hits righties better than he hits lefties. We got a little bit of reverse splits going here, low ownership. I think he's a tournament play.
Yeah, he's going to be extremely, extremely low owned at 3.5K. It's about as high of a price as I've seen on him. People will not pay that for a catcher hitting in the lineup spot that he gets. So I like that call. Super, you know, low owned tournament option. The cash game options here, I think you can look at Alcides Escobar again. He's 2.7K, bats leadoff, has stolen base upside. And Hosmer, I think, is interesting. He's only 3.2K. It's a very fair price on him. So those are the two guys that kind of stand out for cash games for me.
I feel like we need to record a spot for Escobar until he's over 3K and just be like, all right, the Royals, and just play the recording like Escobar batting leadoff, good spot, under 3K, offense behind him that can drive him in, he can steal bases. Like, you know, I feel like we can talk about him every day in it, as a cash game play.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, until they really jack that price up, which they haven't, they didn't do it all last season, and I don't anticipate them doing it this season, yeah, we can go ahead and continue to recommend him.
Is there anybody else you like from either side of this?
I think Trout's always, you know, a good option in tournaments. He'll be low-owned in this situation against Kennedy in L.A., so tournament option. Outside of him, I there's just not much appeal in this Angels lineup whatsoever.
Yeah, and one thing we want to note about Kennedy going back to last season and looking at his stats from the start of last season, high hard contact rate to righties, but a nice strikeout rate against righties as well. So if they go really right-handed heavy, he's going to probably either strike out a lot or get hit hard. So for that reason, I think he's a really interesting tournament play. Miami Marlins visiting the Dodgers. Dodgers coming off of a game or a series here at Coors, going back home. Chen has just not been anything impressive. Like, the Marlins have to instantly regret, like, did we make the right call going out and getting this guy? And then Stripling's been really interesting. I want nothing to do with these pitchers, I'll be honest with you.
I think Stripling's somewhat interesting as an SP2 where he's really cheap. If you can get him dirt cheap, I think he's interesting. It's a good pitching environment here. The Marlins don't really have the ability to get extremely left-handed, so he'll face a decent amount of left-hand or right-handed bats here. So as an SP2 where really cheap, I think he's interesting.
I definitely agree. Now looking to target Stripling, is there any of these visiting bats that you like for the Marlins? I feel like Stanton's a guy we're always going to talk about for tournaments.
Yeah, Stanton in tournaments, and I mean, honestly, outside of that, not much. D. Gordon, he has a nice price actually at 3.3K, so I think he's a fine option at second base. But outside of those two guys, there's just not much to like.
You have to like D. Going back to the Dodgers, yeah. I feel like he's going to get pumped anytime he plays with the Dodgers. And I feel like 3.3K is extremely cheap. I honestly, man, I think he's going to be a popular cash option.
Yeah, he most likely will be at 3.3K. It's about the cheapest he's been all season long.
All right, now looking to target Chen. It's an interesting matchup here because – you know, if we think Dodgers, we think, all right, we want to target the left-handed bats here, but there's a few right-handed bats that we definitely want to target. Don't want to steal your thunder. Who do you like here?
Well, if Justin Turner returns to the lineup, he's been out 2.9K. He's just been pitiful all season long, but that price requires a lot of intrigue. But I think my favorite play by far is going to be Puig at 3.3K, just a really good spot for him. Batted third today, so if he gets that lineup spot, I'll like him a little bit more than opposed to where he has been batting all season, fifth. I think he's probably my favorite. Wouldn't be surprised if your boy gets a good lineup spot, Keiki Hernandez, tonight. Price on him is, is it? 3K, it's a real nice price for him. So I think Puig, Hernandez, my two favorites.
And one other name that I want to mention here, I agree with you, Keiki Hernandez, one of my favorite options, cash games and tournaments. Solid cash play, really solid tournament play. All depends on where he hits in the lineup. But the one name that I want to target here that I don't think a lot of people even know who this guy is Trace Thompson. He's 2,100. It's a lefty-righty matchup. I expect him to be in the lineup. And this guy is going to be a guy in like 4 or 5 years that we're talking about that's hitting like 20, 25 home runs. Guy has pop. He's young. He needs some work. But he's going to be a guy in a few years that we're really going to be talking about.
Yeah, last time they faced a lefty, he batted fifth. So if that is the case again tonight, you know, that would add a lot of appeal. The price on him, what's his pro? Oh, yeah, 2.1K. So if he's batting fifth, 2.1K, a phenomenal play there.
Houston at Seattle. This is an interesting game. Walker against Pfister at Seattle. Houston is, again, like Boston, playing that Sunday night baseball game. So they'll get done probably 11:30 Eastern time and, you know, take a trip out to Seattle. What's your thoughts on that? Do you weigh that at all?
A little bit, and I think this spot makes it a little more interesting as well. You know, a solid offense coming to a very pitcher-friendly ballpark, potentially on some short rest. I mean, that's a pretty decent flight. I mean, going from Houston all the way up to Seattle. I mean, so they won't be getting in town till really early in the morning. So I think it's an interesting spot. Walker, a guy with a decent amount of upside, pitched well in his last start, 6 innings, picked up 6 strikeouts and the win, 48 fantasy points. Astros have an explosive offense, but they do also have the propensity to strike out a lot. So I think he's a very interesting tournament option tonight.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I don't think he'll be a guy that's targeted a lot. This is a great ballpark to target pitchers, like you mentioned. And, you know, you have to think, like, okay, it's 11:30. They get on a plane at midnight, 1 o'clock. They're getting in, I don't know exactly, I didn't look it up, but I'm sure it's a 2-3-4-hour flight.
Yeah.
You know, that just throws the routine off. Now, these guys get paid a lot of money to do this. I'm not saying that it's not something they're used to, but you just have to think, like, there's a lot of young guys on this team, and it's just one of these spots where I feel like I'm going to take a couple shots with Walker.
Yeah, I definitely think it's worth it. Like I said, good offense in the Astros. They do have the propensity to strike out, and you know, if they're not on their A game, he could definitely take advantage of them here. And you know, combine the fact that it might be a little watered down lineup with all the travel as well, it could work in his favor too.
Now, Doug Fister, he probably is already in Seattle. They usually send the starting pitcher on, you know, a day earlier, so Fister's not a guy that we're going to target anyway. Yeah, he struggles against lefties. He struggles against righties. I think we can target some of these Seattle bats. Who do you like here for the Mariners?
My favorite's probably Seth Smith, 2.4K. Should bat second. He has been batting second against righties, or fifth, which I think is still fine when you consider the price at 2.4K. If you're looking for something up a little bit, higher price range, obviously Cano, 3.7K, having a solid bounce back season. Adam Lind, you can throw into the mix. He's 2.2K, likely candidate to get pinch hit for late in the game, so there's some risk in him. But I think overall, my favorite option, Seth Smith.
Yeah, I agree with you. Kyle Seager's price is interesting at 3K. Yeah. I think that's one guy we can look at as well. And then Nelson Cruz, people get thrown off by, you know, the righty-righty matchup. But if we look at Fister's numbers, you know, 350 wOBA, 29% hard contact rate dating back to last year against righties. Cruz, the guy that hits for power against lefties, righties, it doesn't matter. I think he's an interesting tournament play. Don't expect anybody to be on him. That's when I like to target him. So,
yeah.
And then now we talked about Houston. We talked about all the travel and all this stuff. Without having a lineup, it's tough. But if we were going to target some of these bats, which I probably won't target them too heavy, is there anybody that you want to target here?
No, not necessarily. I think the one guy that's pretty interesting is Colby Rasmus as a tournament option. They finally got him priced up there after, you know, 2 weeks of him being underpriced. He's 4.2K, but I think he's probably my favorite play, and that would be tournament only. I don't think we want to pay 4.2K for him in this ballpark. So probably my favorite tournament option for the Astros. Outside of that, don't think there's a ton of appeal. Obviously, Jose Altuve always in play. It's a tough price, though, at 5.1K. You know, the ballpark shouldn't affect him that much. But like I said, my favorite overall play would be Colby Rasmus, and that's in tournaments only.
Yeah, Altuve, Rasmus, Correa, Springer, all their prices are up right now. I think it's a good spot to look elsewhere, but I agree with you. Altuve, always a pretty safe option. His price tag at 5,100 when you have a game in Coors will probably lead to a lot of low ownership for him. And Rasmus is a guy with double dong upside. We've seen it this season. I think he's had double dongs twice. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure he has.
Yeah.
So, you know, he has upside, but I don't know about this matchup. San Diego, last game of the night, traveling to San Francisco to take on Madison Bumgarner. What's your thoughts overall on this game?
Well, obviously Bumgarner stands out. Looked shaky in his first couple starts, bounced back and looked pretty sharp last time out. Ended up giving up a 2-run homer late in that game. It was basically a pitcher's duel between him and Greinke. But he went 7 innings, struck out 8 guys, and just looked better. He gets the worst offense in baseball at home. So that's why I think it's a little bit closer between him and Syndergaard than you do. So he's $400 cheaper than Syndergaard. I think, like I said, I still have Syndergaard ranked slightly above him, but Bumgarner, I think, is a fine alternative to him.
Do you have the line on this game? Because my problem with Bumgarner, and I tried to find it while you were talking, but I didn't know if you had it or not.
It's -190.
That's shocking to me. Like, because Pomerantz has been decent, and I think he's actually been beyond decent. He's been really good. My problem is, like, is Bumgarner a lock for the win? Kind of like what we were talking about with Syndergaard, and we can even throw Salazar in there. Like, I feel like those guys have a much better chance to win. And then you look at Vegas, and 190 is really interesting. So,
yeah,
it's the worst offense in baseball against probably one of the best in pitchers in baseball. So that's interesting. But man, 11K for a guy that is facing a opposing pitcher that's been really good.
Yeah, and I think the 190 number is more. Matched up to the fact San Diego is just brutal. I mean, their offense is really, really bad. It's a fine spot. And Pomerantz, I think, is really interesting. The guy has been remarkably impressive to start the season, averaging 46 fantasy points. He's gone at least six innings, back-to-back starts, eight innings pitched, eight strikeouts and 10 strikeouts. The 10 strikeouts came in an impressive spot against the Pittsburgh Pirates, who have guys that can hit left-handed pitching really well. So be curious to see the ownership on this guy. You know, I think he'll probably be up there. He's obviously going to be the most popular cheap option. I think you'll see a lot of lineups with Pomerantz and, a Coors Field stack, which will make a lot of sense, but it's not going to be very unique. I think he's in play on sites with multiple starting pitchers. It's a really good pitcher's ballpark here. So I think he's in play. I'll be interested to see the ownership level on this guy.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you right now, DraftKings, he's going to be very popular. He's 6,600 with a lot of strikeout upside. Going to be popular. I'll be honest with you, I don't want bats in this game. There's just so many great spots that I feel like if Posey gets into one, like, okay, he hit a home run. I feel like if anybody goes off in this game, okay, I feel like, okay, I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the only guy I think I'd take a shot on would be Posey. Somebody that's hit left-handed pitching really well throughout his career. He has a nice price at 3.5K, but bats overall here, no thanks.
All right. Well, we get to do the favorite part of the podcast, my friend. We get to play Home Run Derby. I haven't updated it. I don't know if you got a home run or not on Friday. I think you did.
All right. Well,
I'm going to continue to be nice to you just because, you're nice enough to jump on the podcast with me twice a week here. Hoop, I'll let you have first pick.
Yeah, I'm sticking with my hometown team. I'm going Miggy.
I really like that. I feel like the Tiger stack would be underowned. I feel like we talk about that every time, and I don't think it's us being homers. It's just it's going to happen. They're going to explode eventually, and this is a good spot for them to explode. I'm going to go a little crazy here. My first pick is actually going to be a Steven Souza. I feel like he's going to keep it going. I feel like it'll be really underowned. I'm going to go him, and I'm going to go Trace Thompson if he gets a start. And I'll take the chance here. I'll take the risk.
I like that. I like that. I have to go. I feel like I need to go a little more risky because those were two pretty risky guys. I'm going to go with a big name guy here, but in a not so good spot, Paul Goldschmidt at home against a lefty, an above average lefty. So give me Goldie.
All right. And then give me one more here.
Oh, and the last one. All right. Give me Prince Fielder.
Fielder. All right. I like that. I feel like, and since, I feel like since you took three people outside of Coors, I don't feel like I need to go to Coors. So I'm going to go Travis Shaw of my Boston Red Sox on Julio Teheran. I'm going three guys that I feel like are all going to be under 10% owned. And
oh, yeah, absolutely.
I feel like that's what I need to do. I feel like that's the tournament man inside of me. I feel like that's Marshall, what.
You got it. You got to do it.
All right, one last thing before we get out of here. If you had to pick one pitcher that was going to win, who would it be?
Going Zimmerman, just going Homer again. Not a guy that typically goes Homer style, but I'm doing it. Tigers at home, coming off a pretty rough weekend against the Indians. I think Zimmerman goes out and gets the job done against the A's.
All right, and I could easily go Thor, but I'm not going to. I'm going to go Danny Salazar. Danny Salazar finishes as the number two pitcher on the slate, gets the win, and really close to Syndergaard in points, but not beat. I feel like Syndergaard's going to beat the guy. So, yeah. Hoop, it's always a pleasure, my friend, and I hope you have a continued success on following podcast slates, and I think we'll talk again on Friday.
Yes, sir. I look forward to it, and good luck to everyone this Monday night in MLB DFS. Nice 13-game slate, so let's all make some money.
All right. If you guys have any questions or any, you know, things that you'd like to hear on the podcast, hit me up at CBTPFL. He's at Hoop2410. It's always a pleasure to work with you, Mike. We will be back tomorrow. I have a special guest. I'm not even going to tell you who it is. I'll make you wait. And we'll be back, and we'll talk to you then.